Good day, friends, and welcome to Hashtag Music Ed Love. I'm your hostess, Angela Ammerman, and I'm so excited to welcome music educator, author, conductor, speaker, and mom, Leslie Moffitt, onto the show. Welcome, Leslie.
Thank you so much, Angela.
It is so good to have you because I'm in the process of actually reading your book, I Love My Job and It's Killing Me. And it's so relatable. So I'm so thrilled to have you here to kind of pick your brain a little bit and just talk to you about this book. And I know you have a second book out as well. So I'm excited to hear more about that and just, yeah, hear what's going on. So before we jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What is your life like right now? What happened today?
Well, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest and went off to college, but came back here and I've been teaching. It's my 35th year of teaching, but I spent the first 34 years mostly teaching high school band. And this year I'm in the middle school level. And so I'm just enjoying a whole new part of my life right now. Today was our last day of school for middle school. So I'm feeling pretty excited now. I've done the whole year and I'm like, this is kind of fun. Middle school is like the best kept secret out there. But I'm a lifelong band geek. My mom and dad met in their college marching band and their honeymoon was the trip to the Rose Bowl that year with the band. So, and my grandma was a music teacher. I am married to a trumpet player and all of my children were part of the music program because I teach in my community. They went into the program. So my whole life is band directing and all things band director, sometimes to an unhealthy extent, hence book one. But really, I mean, it's all I ever knew. And it's what I'm super passionate about. And I want to help other music teachers have stamina to do this for a long time too, because it's a pretty amazing career.
I love that so much. And I'm so excited for more teachers to get a hold of your books and to really learn from you. I have to say, as I'm reading the book, I seriously was like, I swear you've written this for me. And actually, it's really funny. I mean, I have been trying since my son was born, he's three, I've been trying to find better balance in my life. And I keep reading all these different books on productivity and books on like health and wellness. And I'm like, nobody gets it. Nobody gets it. Nobody gets it. Because what we do in music education is so different from any other field. It is. It just is. And workaholism is a little bit built into our culture. And so I have struggled with that and I really needed your book. So can you share a little bit about what your book is, I Love My Job, It's Killing Me, and what it is and who is this for?
Well, I wrote it for other busy band directors who love their jobs, but maybe to an unhealthy extent. What it was doing to me, the stress of the job, the amount of hours I was putting into it, at the expense of not taking care of my family and myself like I should have been, manifested in a lot of health issues. I ended up being on 14 different prescriptions for ADHD and to help me sleep, to help me stay awake, anxiety, depression, so much stuff. And I have a dozen major surgeries and I have rods and stuff in my neck and back. And I was using a walker and oxygen tank at one point. My health was horrible. And my best friend was dying of cancer. And so she was the choir director at the other high school in the district. And we would literally be like at her chemo appointments. She'd be still in chemo, you know, texting with her principal about lesson plans and stuff. And I, at that point, it was just like, this is ridiculous. Look what's happening. Our job, it's a job. It's a job, but it's literally killing us, this stress. And I was at a point where I had to do something different or I was not going to make it any longer. And so I couldn't go to school. I stopped functioning. It was 6 years ago this last March, and I didn't go the rest of the school year. I exhausted all my sick leave, couldn't go on the end of the year trip. My dad had to take my band and my colleagues, but he was a retired band director, so he took them and conducted them. And I had hit my rock bottom. And I wasn't serving my students because I was too sick to go to work, mentally and physically exhausted. And I had to do a lot of soul searching. Can I continue doing this? And if I do, I have to do it differently. So that's where the book came about, is I started to identify and searching out ways to do it. It was hard. Oh my gosh. I know you've written a book because you had to figure it all out. And then you're like, well, let me help somebody else because we're teachers, right? So I wrote a lesson plan basically for teachers to assess where they are, where they want to be, and how to get there. And so other teachers can hopefully not have to struggle as much as I did, because it was a pretty hard rock bottom. And that was the motivation though. You know, the motivation to not ever go back there. It was hard work to get out of that, but it was really hard to be sick all the time and to have to go through all the physical therapy and to have surgeries. And that was hard too. So I had to pick my heart. And I like the choice. I like how I feel better now. The hard work has turned into some healthy habits that have made everything a whole lot easier.
And it's cool hearing you say it in your own words. Oh, no, I mean, not in your own words, but in your voice, because I've been listening to it on Audible.
Oh, and
yeah. So it's really cool to hear you share all of this as well. I know for me and a lot of my colleagues, you know, such a big theme for all of us has been balance, this idea of balance, especially as we have children. And I'm still struggling with this so much. So while I'm able to balance my family with my work to a degree, and this is only thanks in part to my like mentors and family and friends, I still struggle to get my own health in check. Like, what pieces of advice do you have for parents who have like these really odd mixes of gigging and jobs and taking care of kids to kind of get their own priorities, get their own bodies in check?
Well, it takes a village, right? Once my parents retired from teaching, I would drive to work every day with my kids in the car. They would take the kids at that point to daycare and school and then bring them back at the end of the day. And we had to rally around and support each other. And I was so fortunate. You know, I've got a husband who is a musician, so he understands the struggles, and he does a lot in the parenting, or when the kids were young, did a lot too. And we had a lot of people help us, but I would feel that a lot of that time with work because I didn't understand, you know. I talk a lot about in college, we are taught how to serve our students and how to serve our communities and how to, you know, fix instruments and do all those things. But we don't, what about us? What's our maintenance? We don't do that for ourselves. And we didn't talk about that in the 1980s when I was in college. It was all about just get out there and do it and do more. And if you have a little free time, you're not doing enough, do more. And so I filled the time. And so I had to, you know, I identify four steps in my book. And one of them is just being really mindful, first of all, of what am I doing and why am I doing it, personally and school-wise.
You know, it's so funny that you just said that. Like, I'm having the exact same issue where any time that I'm not with my son or I'm not teaching, I'm working. And it's free time, right? It's like, quote unquote, free time. But it's almost like an addiction. Like, it's so hard to break out of that. And here I'm watching like my husband, he goes swimming and he goes for these walks and it's so great. I want to do that. I need to do that. But what do I choose over and over again? And we do that. I choose work that for me doesn't even like, I don't have a specific deadline for a lot of this work. It's just, I do love it. And I see how it benefits others, but that's such a struggle. So I love that, like, to talking about being mindful and writing things down. Like, I feel like that's such a common thread in your book, is to like write it down, track it, really make sense of this. I think that's really very helpful. Hey everyone, have you heard that we have a brand new book out? The Music Teacher's Guide to Engaging English Language Learners is now available through GIA and on Amazon.com. If you're interested in receiving a free copy of the book, I have a contest going on right now. If you'd like to enter to win, simply write a review of #MusicEdLove wherever you get your podcasts, and then subscribe to my mailing list at angelaammerman.com. And then I will send you your very own autographed copy of The Music Teacher's Guide to Engaging English Language Learners. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of the show. Okay, so I actually just took your mojo meter because I was like, let me see where I am. So tell us a little bit about the mojo meter quiz. What is this and how have you been using this?
Well, the mojo meter is basically a baseline assessment for teachers to take that helps them figure out where do you even start. When I hit that rock bottom place, it was really hard to figure out where do I start? What's the most wrong with me? What do I address first? What's causing me the biggest grief? Where can I put a little bit of effort and get the biggest result? And so that mojo meter is helpful just for people taking it, even if they don't send it to me, to just asking some questions to help you think about, oh, this does drain my energy a lot. I hadn't thought of that, or, you know, those different things. So it's like that assessment. If you were going to go in and have a rehearsal, you would have some idea of, you know, you want the sound piece, how you want the piece to sound, but you wouldn't just go in and say, all right, first time running through, I want to start with the clarinets at this part because you're going to make mistakes. No, you listen and assess first and then figure out what to do. So that same thing here is assessing where are the issues I'm having the most trouble with. Then you can start to figure out, okay, what do I address first?
Absolutely. I think that's so key. And it's funny, when I was taking it, I was like, I hadn't even thought about some of this stuff. So it was great. And I'm so excited to continue to read more. And I know I told you this earlier, but I'll say it here on air as well. So I'm listening to the book on Audible, which is really fun. And that's the way I do most things because I have a 3-year-old. And so it's very hard for me to actually read a book. But the more that I listen, the more I'm like, I got to get the actual book. I need the physical hard copy because I want to write in it. And I want to, you know, see all of the things. So I'm super excited about that. And for those of you listening, I think the Audible book, whoever you chose to narrate it, did such a great job. First of all, I actually really care about the sound of the person's voice and all of that. And it was really lovely to hear, but having the physical copy is just so wonderful. So in addition to the books that you have out, you also have a podcast. Tell us about your podcast. What has been your favorite thing so far about podcasts?
Oh, thank you for asking. This has been such a fun thing to take on. A lot of folks were saying, are you going to write a third book? And I'm like, well, I could, but you know, if I write a book, by the time I can write them in 90 days, I've proven myself, but then publishing and getting it out there, and then people have to buy it and read it. They need information and stuff now. And band directors are busy. So I created the Band Director Bootcamp podcast to share productivity and wellness tips for busy band directors, because I know how important those things are. And if we can give tangible takeaways in about 20 minutes that folks can use either for their personal wellness or for productivity at school. And guess what? They're interconnected, but top secret, but that's what that podcast is about. So I've had you as a guest and some other amazing people on there. And I've also found that, you know, it's also the best thing ever. This is free advice from 57-year-old woman for all you out there. If you ever need to learn something, start a podcast and you get all this free advice because people will come on. It would cost me a fortune to get all this great advice if I had to hire people as consultants, but you start a podcast and you get all the good stuff. So you find that true, Angela?
That's so true. I'd never thought about it that way, but oh my gosh, you're right. Yes, that's brilliant. Young teachers, listen up.
Yeah, there we go. And so anyway, that podcast is really, we're finding a lot of response to it, that it's helpful. So yeah, join us on that platform too.
That is so great. Well, and then there's another thing you're doing. I mean, like all of the things, you've started the Empowered Music Educator. How are you impacting music teachers across the globe with your perspective and your experiences?
Well, it all started with writing a book because, like you, I wanted to impact music teachers so they could do this work for a long time. And starting to do that, then I had a platform. And it was like, then I was being asked, could you come do this and do that? And so as I got to doing keynote speaks and talk, I formed my company because I'm really proud of it. And so it incorporates the book and the podcast and my services when I go out. And I love coaching. I have coaching groups. I'm doing a 90-day bootcamp challenge right now, for example. And I love that. I love the deep dives with the band directors that I work with from all over the country. We have our small groups that meet weekly and I deliver some ideas and we go through projects. You know, we were talking, one of the things in your books, you talked about commitment to goals, right? And making commitments and taking them to your administrators so they know what you're doing and the like. And I start mine with that too. I remember when I wrote my first book, I was so frustrated. The woman I hired to help me write it. And then I'm like, oh, she's going to teach me how to write each chapter. It's going to be great. And then she's like, yeah, we're going to start writing the flap copy. And I'm like, what's the flap copy? She said, it's the back. It's like the summary of the book. And I said, oh, I can do that after I've written the book. It'll be easier then. She goes, wait, you just hired me to help you. So why don't you like, and then she made a great point. You know, it's like, we do this in music all the time, music and planning backwards in and the like. And so that step process, you know, I do that with the clients and we'll lay out their flap copy in a year from now. What do you want your life to look like in these different areas, whether it's your personal health, if that's what we're focusing on, or in your classroom. And I've made my flap copy for my classroom each year. And we go to Staples and make a big, huge poster and it's in the classroom and my kids see it. And they see that these are, in fact, I know nobody out there can see it, but I've got a copy of my personal flap copy right here that sits right by my desk that I've done for my own self. What do I want my life to look like in a year? And so it's just a different format, but it's that same thing. And the reason why I bring that up, we were talking about books or things that are helpful, but that's some of the things that I love to do and to teach through my company. And that's what I've created company for, is to be that outreach, to provide helpful resources that really work and that have worked for lots of folks so that they get results that they're looking for instead of aimlessly like trying to figure this out. If you don't know what you're trying to do, you don't know how to get there. So we got to get some clarity, right? I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
No, that's so helpful though. And you know, so often I'll be doing things without a plan myself. And then I have to remind myself, like, I just need a plan. And then I need to stick to the plan. I'm still working on that. That's a whole different thing. But well, Leslie, thank you so much for coming in today. This was awesome to actually talk to you and to hear your voice and to see you. When people want to get a hold of you, what are the best ways to reach out to you?
My website it's got the contact page on there. It's M, the letter M, the word powered and educator, mpowerededucator.com.
That sounds awesome. Well, I hope you all will reach out to her and get the books today, whether you're downloading them on Audible or Kindle or whatever you're doing, or if you're getting the hard copy, buy those today. You will thank yourself later. Well, I also want to take a moment to thank all of you who have been following us on Instagram and on Facebook, and remind you all to please subscribe and leave us a review. Every star counts. We absolutely love hearing from you. And when you leave a review, it actually makes it easier for other people to find the show. So we really appreciate that. We hope that this week you will be able to sprinkle a little stardust on all of your students, uncover the greatness within a few more young humans, and send those stars through the stratosphere. Happy musicking. Bye.